Hey everybody, this is DJ Detour with my show Behind the Bit, and it is 3 o'clock and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So today I'm going to start my first segment off with how to prepare for a show, and I'm going to finish this up in my second segment. And the first segment is going to be about what you're going to do the day before you go to a show. And I'm going to try to cover horseback riding shows as well as vaulting shows, because that's what I have the most experience in. And I showed horseback riding for many, many years, starting out when I was very young. And I don't do that currently because it's expensive, and it's very expensive. But I do compete vaulting currently, and so I'm going to try to cover both of those. So the day before you have a show, one of the first things that you're going to want to do is give your horse some type of a light workout. And you want to do this because if you don't give them any workout at all, most likely, you know, because everything that will go can go wrong, your horse will be super excited the next day and it won't be good. So it's good to give them a good light workout if you're riding them, you know, just lightly. Or if you decide to work them in a round pen for a short period of time or lunge them for a short period of time. And one thing that you definitely make sure to do is to avoid anything that could possibly go wrong, which is why you do a light workout. You want to avoid like going on a trail ride because, you know, your horse could trip and fall and break their nose or spook at something and you could fall off and get hurt, and that's not something that you want to happen the day before you're going to a show. You also want to avoid trying anything new. So I wouldn't recommend trying to do something new with your horse that you've never done before, because that is not the day to do it. The day before a show is not the day to try something new. You also want to avoid, you know, even if you have done it before, like jumping, which is one of the things that I used to show, you don't want to do any big, huge, crazy stuff the day before, just in case. And the next thing, when you're done giving your horse their light workout, you're going to want to bathe them. And when it's also good that you're giving them a workout, because then they're going to be tired and they're going to stand nice and still when you give them a bath, because a lot of horses, or many horses, don't like getting a bath. Or don't want to stand still for that long. And if you're lucky, it'll be a hot day and it'll be even easier. So you're going to want to extremely thoroughly wash your horse. So you put him down, use shampoo. If you have a white horse, you'll use, a lot of people call it bluing shampoo. And there's a bunch of different brands of it, but it just helps really bring your horse's white coat out and any stains that they could have. It'll help get all those out. And if you have a black horse, they have darkening shampoos to make them look blacker, because a lot of horses that have black coats will fade. So they'll be kind of a brownish black and they just look a lot nicer when they're darker. And for all the colors in between, there are what they call brightening shampoos. And they'll kind of restore a lot of the vitamins and minerals in your horse's coat and make them look vibrant and wonderful. And you're also going to want to make sure to wash their mane and tail. And then after that, you're going to condition their mane and tail. You want to make sure to get all the tangles out, because, you know, the more conditioner you use, the easier it's going to be when they're drying and you're trying to comb their tail out, because that can be a nightmare. A lot of horses get almost dreadlocks in their tails, and it is a time-consuming process to take them out if it is that bad. So you'll condition and then you'll wash that all out, wash your whole horse off, and then you're going to want to let your horse dry in the sun or use what's called a cooler, which is a fleece sheet that goes over your horse and will help them dry quicker, especially if it is not a warm, sunny, nice day. And when your horse is done drying and you're done combing their tail and all that good nonsense, and there's lots of stuff for when you're trying to brush their tail out, there's detangler and shines, which are amazing. They're almost, a lot of them are actually the same ingredients that people use for people hair. And I can tell you for a fact, I have used horse detanglers in my hair and they do a great job. But you're going to use those and it's going to help you and not take so much time to get all those snarls out of their tails and manes. And then when you're done, you're going to want to put a sheet on them, or they're, you know, a sheet is just a thin blanket so they don't get dirty, because you just spent so much time cleaning them and washing them, and the last thing you want is for them to go out in the pasture or in their stall or wherever they go and roll. Because I can tell you that 90% of horses, you give them a bath, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go out and they're going to roll in the dirt and just ruin everything you just spent so much time on. So that's why you put a sheet on them. And there's also things that people use on them called sleazies. And they're like spandex blankets. So they're even thinner than a sheet and they're more fitted to their body. And with sleazies, they also make some that go over their neck and over their face, so they really can't get dirty, which is really, really nice, because when you get them out in the morning, they're going to be dirty in one place or another. So if you can try to eliminate that, makes your life a little bit easier. And you're also going to use something on them called a tail bag. And there's a bunch of different variations of this, but usually they're made of a spandex-like material. And the two basic types are, there's one that's literally just a little spandex bag that you stick their tail in, and it'll have four pieces at the top that you weave into their tail and tie a knot so that their tail is going to stay clean and not tangled while you go home at night and they go try to get it all dirty and all that. And there's also another type of tail bag that has three sections. So you put three pieces of their tail in the three different sections and then you braid it. And the one thing about that, it is very cool and it stays in a lot better than the regular bag type one. But when you take their tail out in the morning, it's going to be wavy, and some people like that, some people don't. You can always brush their tail out with water and it goes away. But for all the Houdini horses who like to take their tail bags off, that is definitely a good solution. Because a lot of them really don't like it for whatever reason. It bothers them. And then the next thing, you know, you're going to do is you're going to put your horse away and hope to God they don't roll or do anything silly during the night. And you're going to go home and you're still going to have a whole lot of stuff to do. You're going to bring all your tack home because you're going to need to clean your saddle and your bridle, or if you're vaulting, your surcingle. So you're going to have to use like saddle soap or leather soap on the whole thing. And then you're going to have to wait for that to soak in. And then you're going to have to use a conditioner on it. And you are also going to have to make sure for riding that you have a clean saddle pad. And it's usually preferred to be white. So you have to make sure you have a very clean white saddle pad. And a lot of times you'll have to wash it. And that's not a lot of fun either. And for if you're going to a vaulting competition, the pad, and then we call it the fluffy, the piece that goes directly underneath the surcingle, it's like a foam piece. They both have covers on them. And usually what we do is we change the cover to a brand new one so they look all nice and clean and good. And then you're also going to have to clean whatever equipment that you're going to use on yourself. So if you're in a riding competition, you're going to have to make sure your boots are polished. Your half chaps, if you wear half chaps, which are, when I say chaps, a lot of people think about the full ones that go down your whole leg, but half chaps go from your knee down and they attach underneath your boot. So I'll have to make sure those are clean. And for vaulting competitions, you got to make sure that your shoes are clean, because we wear leather shoes and you have to make sure they're all polished because they get really dirty. And usually people have white ones and black ones, and the white ones get terribly dirty. But are very easy to clean. You just have to do it and remember to do it. And you're also going to have to make sure that all, whatever, depending on the type of competition, that your outfit is clean. So if you're in a riding competition, you want to make sure you have a clean undershirt, a clean button-up shirt, and a clean jacket and a pair of breeches that are clean. And for vaulting, you have to make sure your leotards or any other costume that you might be wearing is clean. And you also, when you're packing up all your stuff that you're going to wear the next day, you're probably going to want to pack an extra one of whatever you have, because, you know, anyone that knows anything about being around horses knows that you're going to get really dirty and your horse is going to slobber on you and you're not going to have something else to wear and it's frustrating. Or, you know, there's a lot of dirt involved with these large, lovely animals, so that's going to get all over you as well. So when you pack yourself an extra shirt or pants or whatever you have, it'll make you feel a lot the better the next day when you end up with horse slobber all over your sleeve and you have a shirt to change into. And you also want to make sure that you pack food. Pack food, snacks, water, because those are very important things throughout the day. At any competition, you want to make sure you have water and food, because if you're stuck somewhere that you may or may not have access to going and getting a bottle of water, going and getting some fruit or whatever type of snack you like, it's frustrating. Because I know there's one competition that we go to for vaulting and it is up a giant mountain and you have no cell service. They serve lunch at that competition. But other than that, it's a, you know, 20-minute drive down to go to the grocery store, and that can be very inconvenient if you want water now and you don't have time to go put your horse away and get in your car and drive over there. And so it's easier if you have all of this packed for yourself and ready to go. And this is going to wrap it up for this segment, and that is some basic things that you would do the day before a competition. You're listening to Penguin Radio, and we will be back with my show Behind the Bit in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Don't involve Rasta in your session. I'm saying Rasta don't work for no CIA.
Don't forget your history or your destiny in the abundance of water. The fool is thirsty. Rat race. Rat race. Rat race.
Hey, this is DJ Detour back with my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So for this segment, I am going to talk a little bit more about showing your horse, and I'm going to talk about what to expect and what you would usually do on the day of a show. So first is the best part. You wake up way too early. And depending on where you have to go to be at the show depends on, of course, how really, really early you're going to have to wake up. And I have left before at ranging times between 3 o'clock in the morning to 5:30. And depending on how far you have to go, because you also want to allow time, you know, at the barn to get everything together, which I'm going to talk about. And when you get there, you want to get there early. So my least favorite part is the part where I have to wake up and get out of my warm bed. But, you know, it is exciting because you're going to do something fun. So you wake up and next you put your clothes on, which sounds like an interesting thing for me to add because it seems obvious. But whenever you're going to show, you want to make sure that in the morning you are not going to wear anything that you're going to wear when you're competing. So usually when I get up to leave for a show, I am only going to throw on like a pair of sweatpants or PJ pants or yoga pants, something that doesn't really matter because it's going to get dirty. And, you know, usually a sweatshirt or something like that. And you're going to make sure that you have all of your clothes packed up in a bag or something, and you're going to load all of that up into your car, and you're going to make sure you have your extra clothes and all your competition clothes, and you're going to double check in the morning just in case the night before you could have possibly forgot anything. For vaulting competitions, you want to make sure that you have your armband number, which I have forgot more than once because it is something that's small and you don't always think about it, but you want to make sure you have that. For vaulting competitions, make sure you have any hair products and bobby pins and all that good stuff that you're going to need for doing your hair when you get there. So you're going to double check, make sure all that stuff is packed, and make sure all your food is packed too, and get something for breakfast because that is the most important meal of the day. And you're going to feel a lot better if you eat breakfast. So you're going to make sure you have all that stuff, pack all of it up in your car, if you hadn't already done that the night before. And then you're going to go drive to the barn, wherever that may be. And so you go to the barn, and depending on if you're trailering or someone else is, you're going to make sure that you move all your stuff from your car, unless you're also driving your car there, hopefully not. But you're going to make sure that everything is loaded into whatever vehicle that you're taking with you or into the trailer. So all your clothes, food, whatever, is packed up. And then you're also going to make sure that all your tack is put in the trailer tack room. So your saddle, your bridle, your extra bridle, because again, if you've got extra stuff, pack the extra stuff, especially tack. I was competing one time when I was a lot younger, and in the middle of a jumping course, my reins snapped in half. So I got to, luckily, the pony I was riding, we were really awesome together, and we finished out the course with 50% of my control of her mouth. And thank goodness that we had a spare pair of reins to put back on the bridle, because it would have been extremely unfortunate, because then I wouldn't have been able to finish competing the day out. So definitely make sure you have extras of anything that could possibly break. And so you're going to make sure your saddle, bridle, blah, 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 all that stuff is packed up. And you know, a lunge line, if you possibly might end up needing that, might as well put it in there anyways. And you're going to also, make sure that you definitely have your first aid kit for yourself and your horse in your trailer, because stuff happens and you want to make sure that you're prepared. And next, you're going to go and you're going to get your horse from wherever they are, and they're going to be dirty. It's a guarantee. Even if you put a tail bag on them and a blanket and everything, they're still going to be dirty in one place or another, because they just like to make us clean them more than once, apparently. So if you have time, it's nice to be able to clean them, spot clean them when you're there in the morning, because then you have less to worry about when you get to the competition that you're going to. So if you have time, you do that. And something that I usually do with my horse personally before shows, and it depends on your horse, is I like to give him a very short, light workout in the round pen before we leave, because sometimes he gets a little anxious in the trailer, and to kind of relieve that a little bit for him, if he's a little bit more tired, he's going to be a little bit more relaxed. So I let him run around for about 10 or 15 minutes before, you know, not too much because I don't want him to be tired all day, but enough that he's going to be a little bit, you know, calmer, not so high energy. And it'll set both of us up for some success on our journey to wherever we may be going. And when you get to your show, you're going to unload your horse out of the trailer. And usually one of the best things to do is, after you unload him from the trailer, they're going to be all, oh my gosh, where am I? This all looks new and different. So you'll walk them around wherever you are and let them kind of see everything, and no surprises is much better throughout the day. If they can look at something that might be make them a little nervous, if there's some bright colored shiny thing or whatever, if they can look at it in the morning and get their spookiness out of the way, it's going to give you a much better day of showing. And after you're done walking them around and introducing them to the new place that they are at for the day, usually you'll tie them up at the trailer. And some horses, you want to make sure they aren't alone, because some horses get separation anxiety when they are away from home and can do crazy, stupid things. And again, something you want to avoid. So after you do that, usually you have to check in at horseback riding shows. You'll have to check in and get the number that you'll be wearing throughout the day and get a schedule of events. Similarly, at vaulting competitions, only one person has to check in the entire team, and they also get, we call it an order of go for the day. And one of the first things you can do when the competition starts is make sure, not that you can do anything about it, but just so you know, make sure that everything's starting on time. Because if things are starting early, you're going to have to be prepared throughout the day that your event could be 5 minutes early or 20 minutes early or whatever. Make sure that you're ready to go and you're not sitting down eating a sandwich or, you know, lost somewhere in the facility. So you're going to have to make sure that they're on time, or sometimes they're behind, and then you're just going to need to know that everything's behind. And at vaulting competitions, you always want to double check all of your goes on the schedule and make sure, because at vaulting competitions, a lot of times what they have is multiple arenas going at the same time. So you have to make sure that none of your events are going to mess each other up, you know, because it's definitely happened to me before. One arena is running early and the other one is running late. And so you're going to get out of your first event late, and then the other one, you're already supposed to be in there 10 minutes ago. So if you know these things in advance, you can kind of let other people know what's going on, and they can switch you around with another team or something to make sure that you get all your goes in and you don't get stuck in the middle of two. And that's definitely, making sure you're on time is one of the most important things, because that'll just mess your whole day up. And throughout the day, you want to make sure that you, as the rider or as the vaulter, that you have had food to eat, that you're hydrated, and you also want to make sure that your animal is hydrated as well. And at most competitions, they will have a water bucket for all the horses there. And something to be sure of is to not use it. Even though other people might be using it, it is not a good idea. You are at a new barn. You have no idea. You know, these horses could be carrying some disease or virus, and you do not want your horse to get sick. So you have to make sure that you have your own bucket, that you can go find a hose or a spigot and fill up your own bucket for your horse. And make sure that throughout the day on a regular basis that you are offering your horse water. And a lot of times at the trailer throughout the day, and I should have mentioned this a little while ago, but a lot of times in the trailer, people use hay bags, which is a bag with holes on one side and you put a flake of hay in it. So during the trailer ride, your horse has something to do, so they're keeping their mind concentrated on something other than, I'm in a moving trailer, I don't like this. And a lot of times you can put that hay bag on the outside of the trailer, so while your horse needs to sit throughout the day waiting for different events, that they have something to do and keep them busy and mentally occupied. So that'll also help them when they're standing at the trailer, especially if you have a horse that has some kind of anxiety. And that is pretty much, in a nutshell, what a show day looks like. And that is going to wrap it up for this segment. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And I am DJ Detour, and this is my show, Behind the Bit. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Riding just as fast as they can ride. I guess they got a lot to do before they can rest assured their lives are justified. Pray to God for me, babe, he can let me slide. I've been up and down this highway, far as my eyes. No matter how fast I run, I can never seem to get away from me. No matter where I am, I can't help thinking I'm just a day away from where I wanna be. Now I'm running home, babe, like a river to the sea. Baby, if you can see me out across this wilderness, there's just one thing I was hoping you might guess. Baby, you can free me, all in the power of your sweet tenderness. Yeah, yeah. I can see it in your eyes. Baby blues. You don't see what you got to gain, but you don't like to lose. You watch yourself from the sidelines like your life is a game. You don't mind playing, keep yourself amused. I don't mean to be cruel, babe, but you're looking confused. Maybe if you can hear me, turn down your radio. There's just the one thing I want you to know. When you've been near me, I've felt the love in my soul. Yeah, yes I have.
Hey, this is DJ Detour, and you are back on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, listening to my show Behind the Bit. And for this segment, I'm going to talk about something that I have a lot of fun doing with my horse and with other horses as well. And in the equine world, we call it bomb-proofing. And bomb-proofing is when you do different activities and use different types of gimmicks to make your horse less spooky, or another way to say that is less scared of things, get less startled, be overall a little bit less startled at things that could be frightening to animals and horses in specific, obviously. And it's very important when you are doing something like you're at a show and there's something that maybe isn't at your barn at home, and it's going to be a lot easier if your horse has already been exposed to it and isn't scared of it. And it's also important if you are somewhere, if you're on a trail or even riding in the arena and a plastic bag flies through the arena, and one might think, okay, that's not really a big deal, it's just a plastic bag. But most horses are terrified of plastic bags. They are little white monsters, and your horse is going to freak out, and it's not fun when it catches you off guard. I can tell you that from experience. And there's a lot of different ways you can do this. I know at the barn where my horse is and at the barn that I had him at a while back, that there's courses that people have set up. Some people call them trail courses. Some people call them bomb-proofing courses. But they're made up of some different things that you could find doing whatever you're doing with your horse, and it's going to prepare you for a lot of various situations. And I'm going to talk about some items that you would commonly see in one of these courses, or things you would use to help bomb-proof your horse. And one of the most, I think, interesting and kind of weird, maybe people wouldn't think of this, is what they have at actually both of the barns that I was talking about, is a PVC structure that's like a little awning gateway type shape, and they tie pool noodles on them in like a bunch of them hanging down, so you have to walk through them to get to the other side. And it seemed kind of weird, like, pool noodles, really? My horse is going to be scared of walking through some pool noodles. But I can tell you now he will. But he was not too hot on the idea when we started trying to do that. You know, he didn't like that they were touching him. He didn't like that when we walked through that they slid along his side. It really freaked him out. And the first time I actually got him to put his face through, which was the easiest part, and I thought it was going to be the most difficult part, he sure showed me. We got about halfway through and he just took off because he did not like those on his sides. And of course that means, okay, well now I have to do that about 300 more times till he doesn't care anymore. So that is one thing that you can set up and do, and it's very easy, not expensive. Get some pool noodles and some twine and just tie them up on that. Or even if you have some kind of entrance in your barn, you could put them there so there's something that you know your horse sees and passes and touches every day. And something else is some horses get really freaked out when something's dragging behind them, and stuff like this could happen if you're on a trail and they get a branch stuck in their tail and it makes noise when it's dragging behind them, and you're definitely not going to want your horse to react in a large way to that. So something you can do to prepare for that is get a small, you could even do like a small branch, but a lot of places use a small like ATV tire that's old and worn out, or even a bicycle tire would work too. And you tie a rope onto it or a large piece of twine, baling twine. Horses, there's baling twine everywhere, so something easy to use. And you make it long enough that you can hold it and drag it behind your horse. And in this case, if your horse is really, really having a panic attack, mental breakdown, you can always drop it so it'll stop and then start over and just do it a little bit at a time until your horse gets used to it and soon will not even notice that there's something happening. And next, a lot of places use a mailbox, and for whatever reason, I could not tell you why, horses, apparently, a lot of them, don't like mailboxes that open and close, and that's the scary part, is when you open them. So something you can do is get a mailbox, put it on a board, set it up somehow so that you can open and close it while you're on your horse. And one good way to do that and practice that is put horse treats in it. So when you open it, grab one out, reach forward and give it to your horse. So then your horse is going to associate mailbox opening with, I'm getting a treat. I like mailboxes opening. And another very scary thing for horses are tarps. And, you know, at a barn, you may see tarps covering hay or whatever. They come up, they're present. They're a good thing to practice your horse getting used to. One way you can do this is put this over something and have something in your hand like a dressage whip so you can touch it while you're riding your horse and they can hear the noise and they'll probably jump away. Another thing you can do that I think is, for me at least, it's a little bit easier is putting a tarp on the ground and having your horse step on it, because it's going to make the same kind of crunchy noise that they do not like, and they're going to get used to listening to that noise when they step on it. And again, a lot of repetition, and it's not going to be a big deal anymore. There's also, you know, the whole crunchy noises that horses don't like. You can fill, you could use like poles to make a box on the ground, and you could fill that box with water bottles and milk jugs. And what you would do is step your horse into that box and let them step on all these different textures and sounds. And again, just repetition, repetition, repetition. And soon they're not going to care. And if you come across one of these items while you're riding your horse or doing whatever you're doing with your horse, it is not going to matter. Your horse is not going to be fazed, and it is going to be so much nicer than your horse freaking out. And something a lot of times that you'll encounter on a trail is fallen trees. So it's good if you can get any type of log that you can practice stepping over with your horse and also stepping over backwards with your horse, because there are situations that you could get yourself into where you do need to step backwards over a log and you may not have the ability to turn your horse around because it could be a steep slope or for whatever reason, you may not be able to turn around. Horses also sometimes have a problem with anything that is very reflective, like a silver candy wrapper or, you know, like a Nature Valley bar. The inside of those is shiny. And, you know, when those are reflecting, they freak horses out. So a good thing to do is have wrappers somewhere where they may or may not be reflecting and your horse could see that. And also like shiny streamers, you know, very, very scary to horses. And like I had mentioned earlier, plastic bags. Another way that you can practice getting your horse used to a plastic bag is when you're not riding your horse, when you're on the ground. You can tie a plastic bag to the end of a whip. And you can practice rubbing it on different parts of your horse's body. So between their legs, under their belly, on their back, on their face. And it's going to be a much calmer and safer way to practice that than if you come upon a plastic bag and your horse does not like it. And again, for a lot of these things, you can reward your horse with a treat. Like you touch the bag to your horse's leg, they don't react, give them a treat. Or, you know, they're freaking out, let them calm down, you know, show them the bag and give them a treat at the same time. So some positive reinforcement. So, okay, maybe this bag is not so bad. It's really not going to do anything to me. And a couple other things that are a little harder to practice with, but they're very important too, if you can have someone else help you so your horse can be exposed to these things before anything bad happens, are bicycles and dogs. And although a lot of times when around here in Marin County, there's not regulations on which days that bikers and dog walkers can go on trails. A lot of other places, they do it, you know, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be just for horses, and the rest of the days are going to be for hikers and bikers. But they don't do that around here, which causes some problems. But mainly the problems are because a lot of the people, not a lot of them, enough of them are disrespectful to other people on the trails that it causes problems. When you have a bike, it's a lot nicer for horses if you slow your bike down and sometimes even get off and walk past, because horses, a lot of them will freak out when there is a bike that's going fast and passes them. There was actually a situation by Willow Tree in Novato where there was some kids mountain biking and they spooked a horse. Spooked two horses, and a woman fell off of one of the horses. The horse was loose on the trails for almost 24 hours, which was really scary. But the even scarier part is that the woman who fell off was in her 50s, and I believe she broke her hip and a couple ribs and had to get surgery, but she couldn't get up, so she had to get helicoptered out. And, you know, the bikers didn't even stop to make sure that she was okay. And so that's very important, is to be respectful to other people on the trails. If you have a dog, hold your dog, please, because even if your dog likes horses, my horse may not like a dog underneath their legs, and I don't want my horse to kick your dog. So that's something to be careful of. And as a horseback rider, you should try to stop and let people pass you and move aside, because we need to be obviously respectful of the other people on the trails as well. So that is going to wrap up my segment about bomb-proofing your horse. You're listening to Penguin Radio, and we will be back with my show Behind the Bit in a couple minutes.
Two disappointed believers, two people playing the game. Negotiations and love songs are often mistaken for one and the same. They remain in contact. Let us say it's for the child. With disagreements about the meaning of a marriage contract, conversations hard and wild. But from time to time, he makes her laugh while she cooks a meal or two. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. Everybody thinks it's true. Everybody loves the sound of a train in the distance. What is the point of this story? What information pertains? The thought that life could be better is woven and into our hearts and our brains. Hey, like a train in the distance, train, train, train. We'll be right back.
This is DJ Detour back with my show Behind the Bit, and you are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And for my last segment, I want to talk a little bit more about the World Equestrian Games. On my last show, I had discussed and explained what events are included in the World Equestrian Games, which also a lot of people call WEG, W-E-G, World Equestrian Games. And today I want to talk about one competitor in specific. Her name is Mary McCormick, and I have the honor of knowing Mary through the vaulting world. She vaults a couple of hours away from the Bay Area with a team in Saratoga, and she has set herself up a GoFundMe account, which is www.gofundme.com/72ffr0. And she has all sorts of updates and photos. And I wanted to read a greeting message and an update that she posted on her GoFundMe that kind of tells you a little bit about a local competitor in the World Equestrian Games. So this first one she posted at the end of February. And it says, Most of you know who I am and what I do. And it's this crazy sport where I dance and do gymnastics on the top of a cantering horse, which is equestrian vaulting. What you should also know is that this year I am setting my sights on competing with my partner in crime, Palantine, at the World Equestrian Games in Normandy, France. I competed at the games in 2006 and earned 18th place. And I also, in 2010, competed where I brought home 4th place. This year could be my best one yet, and I have a long road ahead of me. The first step is qualifying at the U.S. Selection Trials. The trials will be a series of competitions starting in March and wrapping up in June. We will be traveling roughly 5,000 miles to compete at 6 separate trials. The cost of traveling and transporting horses is extreme, and that's just the beginning. If I kick butt and take names at the trials, I'll be heading off to Europe with Palantine to compete and prepare for the games. In the past, I've vaulted on borrowed horses when competing abroad. Competing with my own horse gives me the best chance of reaching my own full potential on the international stage. Palantine is like my dance partner, and the bond that we have forged is invaluable. I feel like this is my year, and I want my horse with me. And that was her first post in February, which was, well, I will continue and you'll know a little bit more. Greeting friends and supporters. And I'm sorry, I did not say it at the end of the last one. Her goal is to raise $20,000, which will help cover, and not completely cover, her expenses of doing all this traveling and competing. It's very expensive, and that is the goal that she set. And she posted about a week ago, "Greeting friends and supporters. I have some awesome news. Due to the incredible support I have received via this site, I have raised over 40% of my fundraising goal. This is lifting such a huge weight from my shoulders and enabling me to focus on my mission, getting myself and Palantine to WEG. Thank all of you so much for your contributions. Our first competition is just 2 weeks away. We will travel to Washington to participate in the first official USEF, which is the United States Equestrian Federation. So the first USEF selection trial for the World Equestrian Games. We're busy preparing and training. Palantine had a visit with Dr. Nancy Elliott, who's a equine chiropractor and acupuncturist, last Thursday, and then had a cranial sacral session with Mr. Robert Rogers on Thursday. He received good reports from both, and I was shown more exercises and stretches to do with him in between his treatments. Palantine trains like an Olympic athlete, and these bodywork sessions have helped him recover and perform at his best. In other news, I'm training hard as ever. I'm also heavily immersed in getting my competition uniforms ready to go. I glued 300 rhinestones onto the technical unitard and still have about 100 more to go. And I decided to completely remodel my freestyle unitard. after a long debate with myself, I decided that I wasn't happy with the design. I had made my exact specifications and loved it at first, but once I put it on, it looked all wrong. As frustrating as it is, it happens. It's difficult to see a creative process from start to finish, and sometimes the final project just isn't what you had in mind. I changed the design and am putting my own sewing skills to work. I'm thrilled with how it looks now. I will spend this afternoon putting about 500 rhinestones on it, and then it will be ready for a full photo. Stay tuned. Thank all of you for believing in me and supporting me on this journey. Much love and happy vaulting. And those are just two of the longer posts that she had posted on her GoFundMe website. And, you know, she's looking for donations from anybody who wants to donate to her lovely journey. And I would just like to say that she is a beautiful vaulter, and I have had the privilege of getting to do a couple of vaulting demonstrations with her that we've put on at a couple of different places. And she's also come down and given our team some pointers and hung out with us and showed us some new exercises. And she is a great person, and everyone should go on there and donate money to her, of course. And she is a gold vaulter, which is the highest level of vaulter. And she's hoping to take home first place this year for the individual women's competition at the World Equestrian Games. So that is a little bit more about Mary, what she does, and her GoFundMe has a whole bunch of pictures and a couple videos of her vaulting, and it is really cool, and everyone should log on there and check it out, even if you don't want to donate money. And it's www.gofundme.com/72ffr0. And even especially for big competitions like the one that she will hopefully be attending, is how important bomb-proofing is. If the horse that she brings with her was not so bomb-proof and ready for anything, he would be a lot harder to bring to all of these different places. So that is a little bit about her. And we are going to take one quick break, and then we will be back for our last moments.
So you could make a mountain in smoky places. In that musical stampede. Oh, it's a
This is DJ Detour back with my last bit for my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And for those of you who didn't hear a couple of shows ago when I talked about vaulting, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more pertaining to what I just spoke about Mary McCormick and the World Equestrian Games and vaulting. So vaulting is a combination of gymnastics and dance on horseback. And it's a very unique sport, and there's lots of different aspects of the competition. There's the individual, and within that there's compulsories and freestyle. And depending on the level that you're on, like in the gold level, which she will be entering in this year, and she has been for a very long time, but in the gold division, there's also what's called a technical. And in a technical, it is including a certain number of moves that are set moves that everyone has to do. But unlike the compulsory division or the compulsory event where you're doing set moves in a set order. In the technical, you're doing all the set moves, but you're making them into a freestyle, which is very unique. And that would be the only level that does a technical competition. And the point of your freestyle as well as a technical is that you're trying to put all of these moves together with a couple other moves in between and try to make it look as unexpected as possible. Because for some of these moves, you can kind of tell when people are setting up and getting ready to do a certain move, and you're going to try to do your best to keep the judges and your audience on their toes and not know what you're doing next, which is very difficult. And I give a thumbs up to those people who do very well on that. And there's also other events in vaulting, like pas de deux, which is a double, which is two people doing a freestyle together on the horse. There's also a barrel part of the competition, and that is you can do like your freestyle on the barrel. And on barrels, they're a stationary barrel with handles attached to them. So you can do a lot of moves that you may not be able to do on the horse, but you can execute them on the barrel. And there's also doubles and triples, etc., on the barrel, which are a lot of fun to do because you don't have to worry about anything going on with the horse. And you can do some fun, complicated stuff. And in addition to that, there's also my favorite one to watch, which is the Tiny Tots. And they are so cute. And they go on the horse at walk and do all their stuff. And it's just, you really just have to watch it. They are adorable. And that's kind of vaulting in a nutshell. It's very competing in other equine sports, vaulting is very different. The environment at a vaulting competition is unlike any other competition I've been to. Going to like jumping competitions, there's a lot of tension between people that are there. Even if you've met them before and seen them before, a lot of people in jumping competitions, at least, they're not really looking to be your friend or talk to you or help you or whatever. They don't want to have anything to do with you. But at vaulting competitions, I know that I have a lot of friends who are on other teams who maybe I will only see at competitions, but everyone is so helpful and so willing to talk to you and help you. And someone you may not know, they may say, hey, like your hair's messed up, let me fix it for you. And it's a very different experience, and I am very happy that I started vaulting and that I'm a part of it. And it's definitely an awesome sport for everyone involved. The horses are always happy, most of the time at least. And all the vaulters, and there's young vaulters, older vaulters. So it's really, I believe, a sport for a lot of people, and it's a lot of fun. So today, I talked about how you would prepare the day before a show, what to expect on a show day. I talked a little bit about Mary McCormick and her journey, hopefully, to the World Equestrian Games this year. And I did a little review on what vaulting is. So this is DJ Detour with my show Behind the Bit. And you can check it out next Wednesday from 3 to 4. And you are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Have a good day, everyone.
You're still on my mind. Never meant to break your heart. Sometimes.